We will begin with prayer and then start the message. Father, we thank and praise you for such beautiful, beautiful hymns that we have the opportunity to sing them and to enjoy them. And we need to get these hymns in our heart and in our minds that through the day that we can sing these hymns and just enjoy them because they have such a tremendous message. But the problem, Father, that we have with this beautiful hymn is that the only ones that seemed to be really rejoicing were the angels in heaven. Yes, we have the shepherds. Yes, we have the wise men. But the world, Father, just turned their back on you when you came to seek and to save the lost. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us today through this message. Speak to all of our hearts, those that are lost, that they would come by faith to Jesus and be saved today. And those that are saved, Father, that this message that I believe is without question from you, that you speak it to all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have been doing a study on the radio on 1440. For the last few weeks, I think we're in the fifth week now, of the book of Malachi. And in looking at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and looking at the folks that rejected the message, and that's what we're looking at here. And when I had this, the hymn, and the Lord without question just brought me to this hymn, it says, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." And it's sad to say that there were a few, but very few, in this world that spoke those words, glory to the newborn King. Only the angels in heaven were rejoicing. And as we look through the scripture here and we read of the Lord Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, and when we find our way down through these verses of scripture, we will look at the third verse first. Herod, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Troubled means a great stirring. And when these wise men arrived into the city, it was such a stirring and a questioning of problem, because the question was, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They should not have had to ask when they arrived, because the words that should have been stirring through that great city, the city of God, should have been so loud and so clear that they wouldn't have had to inquire. They would have known exactly where that Christ child was born, because the Christ child would have been brought into the castle and into the kingdom and be lifted up and raised up as he should be. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was just born upon earth. And then no one noticed. No one paid any attention. Verse 4, when they had gathered all the chief priests, the Herod wanted to know when they come asking this question. So he gathered the chief priests and the scribes together, and he demanded of them where Christ should be born, and they knew the answer. I've always been amazed that they knew the answer. They did not have to go into the scripture and get the scrolls out and says, "Well, you know, I've read that somewhere." They knew the answer. So they knew the King of Kings was coming. They knew the Messiah was coming. They knew the Savior was coming. And yet they told no one. They didn't attend the birth. They did not go to bring their gifts unto the King of Kings. They ignored the date. They ignored the time. But when the question was asked, they knew the answer. And the answer, of course, is in 5 and 6. In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and shall rule my people Israel." And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem. Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring word again that I may come and worship him. And so they went, and they found the house where the young child was, and with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And as we've read many times, warned of God, they went home another way, not to go back to Herod. And then when Herod found out that these wise men, these folks that had come from the east, he was very, very angry. And instead of being angry because he wasn't told so he could go praise him, he was so angry because now he had to guess, where is this king? Because I'm going to kill him. Where is he? So the only thing that Herod could do, because of the star, because the arrival of the east, of the men from the east, everything that went on, the prophecy, everything was in place. He said, okay, you go and you kill every child that was 2 years old and down. That way we will take care. You talk about a brutal, brutal man, a brutal king. What was his purpose? You know, when, you know, we can understand why Herod was angry. He doesn't want another king. We can understand that. But when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people, in verse 4, they proclaimed and he demanded where Christ should be born. And in verse 5, they clearly stated in verse 6 exactly where he was to be born. So we understand Herod. It was under Roman rule. Herod did not want a king to come and take his place or overpower him in any way. So we can understand why Herod was angry, why he would be angry enough to kill every child from 2 years old and down, murder them, slaughter them. We look at the United States and how that we have murdered millions and millions and millions of babies. It is such a sad, sad day for this country, and we pray that through the judicial system and the Supreme Court that those things can change, that we'll stop murdering babies. But that's been going on forever because the heart of man is evil. And we find right here the heart of man comes out with Herod the king, and he puts his proclamation out. But what is the excuse for the chief priests and the scribes? What's the excuse for the teachers of the day, what we would call the pastors and the preachers? What is their excuse of why that they just sat back after even acknowledging when and where they still didn't go? You'd have thought by them wise men, and again we say three because the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but we know there were hundreds that had come to come and bring this honor to the Christ child, the King of Kings. It was enough that it stirred the whole city up. And so here comes the folks in, and you'd thought, okay, the scribes and the Pharisees, and I'm going to call them the teachers and the pastors and the preachers, because that's what we'd have today. And here come this group that came in looking. They had the answer. They didn't even go with them. They didn't give the time of day. Now, the question comes in, why? Why would they do such a thing? And we're going to return, we're going to turn back 400 years and find out the condition of the priests and the scribes. And so go back with me to the book of Malachi. Now, we're in Matthew. You don't have far to go. Just go back one book, to the book of Malachi. Now, we don't know much about this prophet Malachi. We know his name means my messenger. That's about all we know, that he is an Old Testament prophet and what his name means. 400 years have passed from the time that this prophet Malachi has spoken till the next prophet speaks, and that would be John the Baptist, as he would bring the proclamation. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for 400 years, it was silent. But let's look at the condition of the priests, of the teachers, of the pastors, of the preachers in that day. And we'll see that then generation after generation after generation continued that same way. And let's go now to these words as Malachi brings this message from God. Understand that it has been approximately 100 years since they have returned from captivity. So that kind of helps you just a little bit. They have just been back for 100 years, and so from Ezra and Nehemiah's day of rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the wall, bringing it back to the Lord and doing what is pleasing unto the Lord. Instead of that, why over this 100-year period, now they have once again become lax in what they're doing. And the concern that we should have is that the church is in exactly the same condition today, that the teachers, pastors, and preachers, and yes, they were the priests and they took the offerings, but I'm going to change that term to bring it in today, because that's exactly the same condition that we're in today, and that's exactly the same condition that the people are in today. It started with the people. Then the priests and the pastors, the teachers, they allowed it to happen. And it didn't happen overnight. It happened in a very short period of time. And the thought is that it started with some rich man. Some rich man brought his bull to be offered. It was his prize bull. The problem was that the prize bull was sick and was lame and was dying. But he brings his prize bull to the priest. And the priest said, you know, one to another, they said, we can't reject this. He's the wealthiest man in the community. Look at the support that he gives us. We can't turn this away. Instead of the priest rejecting that offering, that sacrifice, because it was sick and lame, it wasn't his best. But then the report went out through the whole community that this rich man has donated, has given as a sacrifice, his greatest bull. The most wealthy possession he had, he has just given it as a sacrifice. Look how he looks. Look how it is to the whole community. Well, once the priests begin to accept something less than what God demanded, there was no turning back. So then everybody began to do that. And we know at the sheep gate, as you come into Jerusalem, the reason the Lord Jesus turned over the tables is because they were bringing in the lame and the sick. And let's look at what took place 400 years before. And so let's go now to see what is taking place. We're going to start with the sixth verse. There's some parts here in Malachi with Esau and Jacob, which are very good, but we're going to jump right down to verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised my name? See, that's the whole point. We can sit here, and we can be real pious, and we know everything about the Word of God, and we have grown and all that. And do we realize how far away we have fallen from the truth? Do we come and look to our King and to our Lord. Were they prepared as the Lord Jesus came to earth for his arrival? No. Are we prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we ready for him? Or are we kind of set in our ways? And we're doing just kind of, you know, everything else takes priority. Oh, I don't need to do this. It's okay. When it comes to the house of God and its care, it's just okay. No, it's not okay. We need to do the best we can do when it comes to proclaiming the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, caring for this facility that God has so blessed us with. But it seems like that we have moved beyond that. That it's just, we had many years ago, we used to clean the church. Families did. Had four different families cleaning the church. And so every week we would come in and that family would clean the church. And the next week another family would clean the church. And the next week another family would clean the church. I got here one Saturday. Carpet was dirty. Little dirt here. Little paper over here. So I called and I said, are you going to be able to clean the church? Oh, we came by. It's fine. We came by. It's fine. It wasn't fine. It was dirty. Now, what's the matter with our eyes? You've heard me say before that I've had folks that want to donate their refrigerator. I said, give me the new one. You keep the old one. If it's good enough for the house of God, it's good enough for you. Why are you giving your junk to the Lord? People say, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, then where's your heart? Where's your place? What has happened here? The priests had fallen so far away from their first love. And we do the same thing. We fall away from our first love. And we begin to do something that's less than right, less than our best. We can't do anything as far as being perfect. We can't do anything perfect, but we can do our best. And when you begin to do less than your best, you're in the same category. We are in the same category as these priests. Where have we despised thy name? Well, look at that. Ye offer polluted bread unto mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that we say the table of the Lord is contemptible. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to the governor. Will it please him? Even someone here upon earth, will what you're offering unto the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of the world, the president, the governor, someone in authority, would they accept the gift that you're giving unto the Lord? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Now, we need to have a heart change. We need to turn our hearts unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to look to see as we're starting a new year. We need to come and we need to realize what is our priority. What's important to us? Is everything else more important than our Savior? Do we put him second? Do we forget to do this or we don't do this? Where is our priorities? Where is our heart? God, through the prophet of Malachi, is condemning the priests and the people. It starts with the priests because it started there. It starts with the leadership of the church. When the leadership of the church falters, then it's not long they begin to accept something less than perfect. And that's what we have here. If you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is not that evil? Now that word contemptible to begin with back in verse 7. The table of the Lord is contemptible. It's disdained. It's despised. And then in verse 8 we have, is that not evil? That word evil means hurt, harm, sorrow. It's bad. It's just plain bad. And then in verse 9, and now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will ye regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 9, halfway through his judgment, his condemnation, Malachi, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, says, will you turn? Will you turn around? Will you trust him as your Savior? Will you walk with him? Will you serve him? Will you praise him? Will you accept the gifts that are proper and reject the gifts that are not? Anytime that we do less than our best, and we can see here, it's a problem with our eyes and with our ears sometimes. Sometimes we accept that things are, it's okay. No, it's not. If it's not your best, it's not okay. You're not doing it against the church. You're doing it against the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you serving? Now, we can jump down here to a verse of Scripture, of verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is. I am tired. I'm tired of always doing this. I'm tired of always doing that. Now, as we stand and look at the next part of that, and ye have snuffed at it. You have not only become tired of what you're doing in service, but you also put your nose up in the air. You're doing it with a little bit of arrogance. It's good enough. I don't need to do that. There's the problem. We need to be serving the Lord to the best of our ability. Not for ourselves, not for our own glory, but for the glory of the Lord. He is the creator of the world. But look at these words. Look at what he says in verse 13. He goes on, he says, saith the Lord of hosts, ye brought that which was torn and lame and sick. Thus ye have brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? And the word is no. You want the blessings of the Lord? You want the leadership of the Lord? You want the wisdom of God? Then number one, you got to be born again. You got to come by faith to Jesus. But then we need to be giving our first, our best. That was the demand that was given by the Word of God. You bring your finest. When they would go out into their flock to find a lamb, they would get that lamb, the Passover lamb particular. They would bring it in days ahead, and they would inspect it, and they would watch it. And they would give of their best, give of their first. I'm sad to say that today I think we pretty well give of our leftovers. We give of what's left. Oh, I've been doing this. I've been working all week long. I'm too tired to do that. Are you weary of the work? If you're weary of the work, you've lost your first love. Because you will never be weary of the work of the Lord. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you love him and prove it. You can't do enough. You do as much as you can take care of. Now, when we come, look at verse 12. Ye have profaned it in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. And to profane, to stain. Again, the word snuff down in verse 13 is to, not only do you say you're too tired. Well, why are you too tired? It's because you're doing everything else. You're doing all the other things first. And then when you come to serve the Lord, whether it's to witness or to teach or to clean or to whatever you're doing. You do everything else first, and then that's just kind of an afterthought. Who are we treating this way? We're treating our God this way. And we need to stand. Why did the priests and the scribes, when they, the wise men, came and inquired, why did they just stay home and let them go on? They had no interest in going. We know right here, because for the past 400 years and before, this is how they were acting. They were accepting gifts, sacrifices from the people that were inferior. They should have turned them away. And they said, God's appalled at this. He is appalled at sometimes our gifts, our giving, and our way. And we need to serve Him and praise Him. That's why no one cared the day that they arrived. It's because they were so used to not serving God, to not listening to God, to taking something that was less. Now, I'm going to, in closing here, give you the first four verses and listen carefully to what the Lord says to these priests. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. They're the ones responsible, the teachers, preachers, pastors. But they were the ones, because people were watching them. People's watching us. If ye will not hear. Okay, there's the first question. Will we hear? Will we listen? And if ye will not lay it to your heart. See, there's the problem. Why don't people get saved? It's because they don't hear and they don't lay it to their heart. Well, God's telling through the prophet Malachi exactly those same words. You take this to heart. And give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts. I will even send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. They have been so blessed all the years. They were given a 10% of every sacrifice and offering that came in, they received. They were the wealthiest of all. God had taken such care of them, and yet they had ignored their responsibilities. I have cursed them already because ye do not lay it to your heart. You do not come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you have been called a priest into service, you're just doing it half-heartedly. You're weary in your work, as the Scripture says earlier. You've even stuck your nose up in the air and says, you know, the church is not more important. It is. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. It doesn't just stop there. I'm going to corrupt your seed. That is the priests and the teachers and the pastors and the preachers that we're talking about here at the birth of Christ. That's the seed, because they did not hearken, they did not listen. But look what he's going to do. And behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, those sacrifices, and one shall take you away with it. Without question, I'm going to rub your face in the manure. The remains that is left from these sacrifices, I'm going to take your face and I'm going to shove it in that manure and I'm going to rub it in there. Is God upset? Look at those strong words. Is God put out? Yes, He is. But what's going to happen today? Is it going to be a turning point in our lives? Are we going to repent as it calls for it here? Or are we just going to let, it's not my problem. I've been working all these years. How many times do you hear teachers, folks, through the years, I've heard it many times. I've been doing this for 10 years. Time for somebody else. It's never time for somebody else. God's called you to do it. You do it. You praise the Lord for it. If you're wearied because of it, of whatever responsibility that you have, it's because you've lost your first love. You've gotten involved with the work, involved with the world, involved with all the things of the world, and you no longer think that God is first. And God's important. He is. Examine your hearts. Have we fallen into the same place that the people, as they would bring the lame and the sick? Have we fallen into the same place as the leadership of the church, that we accept those things as common day? Are we weary? Have we kind of put our nose up in the air just a little bit? Why did the chief priests and the scribes, why were they not already at the site of the birth of Christ? Comes all the way back to here. The heart of man is evil. It's easy for us to fall back. It's easy for us to stop serving. It's easier for us to be tired and weary of what we do. But there's only one way to come back. And we find that over here in verse 9. Now, I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. Thus hath been by your means, will he regard your persons. Your decision. It's your decision. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just ask that you will speak to all of our hearts, that we come with joy in our hearts. We come serving, we come working, we come acknowledging your gospel and giving your gospel out. That we come and we desire to work, we desire to serve you, we desire to take care of whatever responsibility that we have to the best of our ability. Or do we let the world take over? God knew the priests, knew their condition, and knew that what they were going to do. And God's going to take care of them. He's going to shove their nose right in the ground. He's going to shame them with the worst shame that they can have, because of the disobedience of following God's word. Please, just touch our hearts now today, dear Lord. Examine every one of us. Bring those that are lost to salvation, because the joy begins there. But the joy continues from there on, never to end. Don't let us be weary. Let us hold with that first love, and that love is Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.